Do you want more customers from referrals in your business? Well, guess what? You should actually be disqualifying some of those referrals a lot faster to make your business run smoother. We're breaking down what makes good and bad referrals today, right here, right now. It's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's going on, everybody?
What's
Welcome
up
to the On Air Brand Show. I am Taja Natasio, along with my co-host Amber Furman. Amber,
hey,
having some chapters outlined in your book these days.
Yeah,
what's going on in your world,
dude. Sorry for that. I for some reason forgot that you say hi to everybody else first before you say hi to me. And I'm like, what's up? As I interrupt your sentence,
house, you know? So we're co-hosts of the situation. We
right?
can all say hello.
I wanted to say disqualifying people. I like that. And that's honestly
made that up on the fly. That was pretty good, right?
Look at that. That's an amazing way to run your business too. Like if you assume that everybody is already your customer and it's your job to disqualify the ones that don't fit within your product or service, it's a game changer, man. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, yesterday I was listening to, the I Love Marketing podcast, which if you guys haven't checked that out with Joe Polish and Dean Jackson, it's an amazing, amazing resource. Even go back to the beginning. It's like an MBA in marketing. But he was saying it's good for your marketing to repel people, to repel the wrong people. But you want to make sure that you're doing it on purpose and not accidentally just repelling you know, everybody because you're not good at marketing.
Yes. What's the name of the I Love Marketing.
I Love Perfect. Marketing. Yeah, yeah.
I had to think about that because when you started to say, I love, I was like, is Lucy coming next?
But so talk to me. I have a question for our listeners here. We're all in the business of content for business, right? So you are going through the process of writing a book, which I'm super excited about. What do you want to drop? Can you drop the draft title for us or the direction, topic, angle? You know, tell us what's in store for people.
Yeah, I can give you a direction topic. I don't really have a draft title. I have like 10 of them.
Yeah.
Really, it's going to be a book that talks about going from unfulfilled in a career to taking control of your life and the role that getting out of your comfort zone through physical fitness has in your ability to be successful in business.
Awesome. I love it. And you're going through this process and you've outlined your chapters and you also have a podcast. So I have a question I'm going to throw at you. Once you outline the chapters, is there any plan to now take these topics and maybe do those as your individual episodes to make writing this faster?
Yes. Yeah, so it's really interesting that you mentioned this because I hadn't put two and two together because like a lot of people who do content creation, I choose to make my life as hard as possible. So I was talking to a friend of mine and we were talking about getting on more speaking stages now that conferences are coming back. And so I said, hey, can I share with you the chapters of my book? There's 15 chapters that I have outlined. And she says, absolutely. So I'm going through and she's like, Amber, every single one of those would be an amazing keynote. And I was like, And then when she said keynote, I was like, how about podcast topics? And then within podcast topics come podcast episodes. So I like where your mind's going. I didn't go there automatically because life has to be hard, right? So
that's called sophistication bias. And it's one of the biggest things that hold humans back. I'm positive of that.
Yeah. So it's sophistication bias. I like that it has a name instead of just Amber's making her life hard. I have thought about that and it is already in the works. And it's really cool because I think we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about the idea of this revolving content machine where we think we're running out of content because we've already said something. And then we realize that we have new listeners or we have old listeners who are in a new point in their life and they're going to hear things differently. So when you have something that's 15 chapters of a book or 30 chapters of a book or whatever it is, you can recycle those topics and change. You're a different speaker. They're a different listener. And it's a game changer for content creation.
Okay. I'm going to throw this at you and let's talk off air about making this happen as an experiment. And we're going to put it out for the listeners. Anybody who wants to try this out, if you're planning a book, how about this as a book launch strategy? You come up with your main idea like you have. You outline your chapters like you have. Then every week, you come out with an individual solo podcast episode that's like 10, 15 minutes long where you riff on the topic of the chapter. Now we take your little audiogram, we throw that on Facebook and Instagram, and we turn that into an ad campaign to drive traffic to your website with that episode on it. We target people, we spend $5 to $10 a day driving traffic every week to the new episode. And we now are pixeling, right? Everyone who visits the website or sees 3 seconds of your video will now be in our what we call warm audience. So now let's run ads to those people to get them signed up for the wait list of the book because they clicked on or watched the video about one of the chapter topics. And now as we lead up, now as you're brainstorming and riffing on these topics for your book and you're fleshing it all out, you're building up an audience and a wait list so that when you actually get the book drafted to the quote unquote publisher, however you're going to go about the actual publishing process. But now you have an email list of people who are ready and excited about the stuff that you're coming out with. And then your book launches and you sell 1 million copies pre-ordered on Amazon. And now Amber is at the top of the New York Times best-selling author list. Well, what do we think about that?
Let's do something
like that.
Look, I talk all the time about the power of the people that you surround yourself with. And I just want to like highlight that I've been asked to be a guinea pig for a lot of things in my life. And, you know, 15 years ago, if someone had said, hey, can I try this on you? I would have been like, okay, how many bubble wrap suits do I need? Do we need to have a doctor on standby? Is this a hold my beer moment? And then you grow and you surround yourself with better people. And then the next time somebody says, can I be a guinea pig? It is a brilliant marketing strategy that you feel like you're going to end up having to pay royalties to
massive. Yeah. You know, you used to have to worry about what kind of rash you were going to end up with when that conversation started and this conversation ended with, and you're at the top of the New York Times best-selling author list.
I love it.
You know, this is called maturing, you know?
Yes. Well, you know, growing up is optional. So I'm glad that I've taken that step. I love the idea. I would love to chat about it. I'd love to be the guinea pig. Let's put this out as a whole segment of marketing podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's make it happen, man. Yeah. And if you're listening to this, like, I just want to highlight that this is the type of genius that Todd throws out every single day that he's working with his clients. So if you're sitting back there thinking, holy crap, I need a Todd in my life, you can have one.
Hey, you have me every Wednesday at noon. You know? This is where we get it. Hey, what's up? Jim is tuning in here, man. What's going on? Good to see you. Been a while. So speaking of books, not only are you writing a book, but you are also coming out with, has it officially launched with the book club?
It has. And I'm so freaking excited for it.
Okay.
So
now give us the premise in 1 minute. What's the premise of this book club?
The premise is that the wrong questions are being asked in relationship to personal development growth. People are asking you how many pages you read a day, how many minutes you listen to a day, how many books you read a year. The question should be, how are you implementing? How are you acting? What are you taking from these books? So I combine those things. We create a place for people to read, reflect, talk about their perception of the book, learn from other people. And then the newest addition is we actually bring in the author of that
yes.
book to talk about and answer Q&A of what people want to learn. But how amazing would it be to be like, this is what I thought this meant. And the author be like, hey, I had never thought about that before. Yeah. I'm glad it hit you like that. So there are some books that are just so valuable that I'm going to bring them in without the author because we're going to get a ton out. And maybe when I get that bestseller list, I'll get the author in my book club. But for the majority, we're going to bring the author in and it's going to be some amazing conversations. So yeah, I'm super stoked for it.
It's going to be awesome. I don't know if you want to say who it is, but you do have one author lined up that you got in through a referral. Super awesome. Yeah. So tell the story, if you want to name drop or not, but how they came to be and then we can get into our referral conversation here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually have two and they both came from referral and networking sources. So the first one is Michael Faber. He has a new book out called F the Norm and it's all about stepping out of that box that you've tried to put yourself in and into the originality that's going to make you absolutely amazing. And that's how he's built his career. I met him through a networking group from Travis Chappell's Build Your Network and we connected 2 years ago, and then this is just happening. The second one, and this is, I'm so thrilled for this, is Michael Coles. He's the author of Time to Get Tough, the founder of the Great American Cookie Company. He's going to be our October book and has committed to coming in, and it's going to be fantastic. So yeah, he was also awesome. A referral through networking and part of the idea and mission behind what we're talking about today.
Yeah. So when you get Michael Coles in the door, this is a high level. I don't know if his book is New York Times bestseller or whatever, but he's a super successful businessman who then, you know, is now, you know, author, et cetera, great mind. And not only the Great American Cookie Company, but then you also told me earlier that he's also on the board of the Caribou Coffee Company and took them international and all that kind of stuff. So amazing person. How can, you know, I love you, Amber. You're amazing. Everyone who's with us every week knows that. But how does an Amber Furman land someone like Michael Coles into her little private book club that she's just launching? It's brand new. And it's because in order to get stuff like this without paying, you know, his $1 million keynote fee or what, you know, whatever it would be, is by building that relationship faster, getting people to know, like, and trust you, having the credibility, being on a mission and all that kind of stuff. And in order to do that, you can borrow it from the person who refers you. And that's what happened in this case, where one of your friends got connected to him a while ago and they have an existing relationship. And so you were able to kind of piggyback off of that friendship and fast track the know, like, and trust, credibility and relationship building with Michael to get him interested in coming in to serve your audience, which is amazing. And that's the power of having good referral sources, right? Is that it helps you rather than having to take, we always talk about how thinking about the customer journey and it takes a very long time to build relationships and stay in front of people and all those kind of things. And the referrals, when you get referrals in, you can really chop that time down, you know, sometimes in half, sometimes in a tenth, but whatever it is, you can cut off a lot of time it takes to build trust and credibility and relationship when you get referrals. But there's also a downside to those kind of situations, right? Because sometimes you end up, when you ask for referrals, you end up getting people awkwardly making introductions, and then you end up on the phone wasting your own time with people who you shouldn't be talking to. And in certain scenarios, you end up actually getting clients or customers that go south very quickly because, yes, you bypassed the know, like, and trust, but you didn't actually go through, like, is this a good fit and do you understand how we work? So today we're gonna unravel the good, bad, and everything in between for referrals. So it all starts, though, with the introduction, right? Like, when you're asking for or giving referrals, what makes for a good referral introduction?
Yeah. So I want to step back just a minute about what you were talking about before and make sure that, like, people know that, yes, there's that know, like, and trust factor. And also, you know, the person that introduced me to Michael Coles, he didn't have a relationship with him before. He was a reader of his book. So the willingness to put yourself out there to ask for that initial introduction, I feel like there's so many people that are afraid to ask because they think that person's out of reach. So that's the first thing that I just wanted to throw out there, is that nobody's out of reach for anybody. Yeah. So what makes a good introduction? Is that what I'm supposed to be answering? I'm sorry. I just lost my train of thought.
Yes. We're talking about good introductions.
Cool. So I think that the very first rule is making sure that you truly know the person that you're talking to and the person that you're introducing to and what they're looking for and what they can provide. Too many times we've heard the phrase that your network is your net worth. And so we want to act like we know people more intimately than we do. We want to create these introductions because we think that making the introduction is where the value is in. It's not making the introduction that's valuable. It's making a valuable introduction that's right. Valuable.
Yeah.
So understanding that the person you're referring needs what the person you're referring to has, yep, or vice versa. And I think the second most important thing is getting permission from both people. Are you still doing this? Are you still interested in this? Is this somebody you'd like to meet? nothing is worse than getting a referral and then having to be in that awkward spot of telling somebody that you've never met that you don't do what they think you do. Mm-hmm. And then everybody's like, why did this person make this introduction?
Yeah. And then the person who made the referral looks kind of like an idiot, right? And so you had that situation that you did not look like an idiot because you took the necessary precautions, right? It was a podcast interviewing situation, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong. And I used to be that person that was like, hey, I know George and he needs to know Fred. So I'm just going to make the intro and we're going to make this happen. And then you send an email and that person never checks their email or, you know, you send a text message and they don't want their personal textable number being out to people that they don't know. Like there's so many considerations that go into how you make a proper introduction. So when I reach out to somebody and I did have this situation where I had a podcast guest that would be perfect for a podcast host friend of mine, rather than just throwing together an email introduction, I reached out to the podcast host and said, hey, this is this person's bio. I think that she would be good. I just interviewed you interviewed her on my podcast. I think she'd be great for you. And the response I got was, thank you so much. It would be great to meet her, but I'm no longer producing my podcast. I've switched directions. Huge landmine avoided there. But then on the other end, like the next question I always ask, if that answer is yes, I'd love to meet her, what's the best way to make an introduction for you? Yep. How is the best way? Make it as easy as possible. People shouldn't have to work for your referrals.
Yeah. Yeah. And something else that I like to do is in the referrals, if it's via email, is linking over to the people's profile. So yesterday, and there's also something else. So you said, make sure you talk to both sides, make sure there's an expectation. And you said, make sure you have I don't think you said make sure you have a relationship, but make sure that it's a good fit. Or if you're not sure if it's a good fit, just be transparent about it. So yesterday, great example. Someone I'm connected with on Facebook reached out to me, and he's someone, I think he actually interviewed me on his podcast. That's how we got connected initially. But this was the first message I ever received from him on Facebook. So we didn't really have a prior relationship. And he said, hey, do you know anyone who can help with design on these like investment pitch decks or something along those lines? I was like, yeah, I have some people in my network. What's your budget range, et cetera. And I'll think of who would be a good fit. And then yesterday afternoon, I was on a call with a colleague of mine. We were working on a project and she has a design agency. And so it came up and I was like, oh, you know, I just got this message from this person. Is this something that you'd be interested in? And she's like, oh yeah, totally. So I messaged the guy back and I said, look, here's the deal. I don't really know this person that well, but they're looking for your services. Should I make the intro? And then I messaged him and it turns out it's actually a friend of his. So now I'm actually we are like double referraled out, right? Like, it's like someone to their friend, to me, to someone else. And so I set that expectation. I told him, I said, I'm going to refer you to someone else. I'm not going to do it. And the person I referred, I said, hey, here's the situation. I don't really know this guy that well. And I don't have any clue who that other person is, but they're looking for something you might be able to offer. Do you want an intro? She said, yes. They said, yes. What's the best place? Email. Here's the email addresses. And then in the email addresses, I say, you know, hi, you know, so-and-so, you're looking for X. And I know Amber provides, you know, she does a great job doing those kind of things. And I highlight your name and I link it to your LinkedIn profile. Yeah. And then I say, Amber is great at this stuff. You can check more of her stuff out at morethancorporate.com. And so I'll link your name to your LinkedIn profile and then I'll put your website in the sentence. So now that person can easily, like you said, make it easy. Now that person can easily click over and see how professional you are and your content that you're putting out and all that kind of stuff. And then vice versa. If I know the other person, I'll do the same thing there where I'll link over to their websites and profiles so that everybody involved can very quickly just see, the social profiles, the websites, get some context around it and be like, you know, right away, if it's, you know, it looked like brand name hospitality.com. I forget what it was. But so like, if this designer didn't work with hospitality companies, she very quickly would have been like, hey, I just took a quick look at your website. I would love to talk to you, but we don't do hospitality design stuff. And, you know, maybe she would or not. So always being able to make it easy for everybody to get all the information up front and quickly disqualify things, before anybody wastes time on each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's this other side of it too. If you think about receiving that referral that's not a good fit for you because you haven't taken the steps that Todd and I are talking about, you know, on a good referral. And then what are the options? That person that gets the referral either doesn't respond because they don't have a real need to respond, which is never the good answer,
right,
but it happens. Or they have to respond and start this awkward conversation of like, I don't really know why we're having this conversation.
Right.
No matter what happens there, you have a know, like, and trust factor with the person that you are referring and the person you're giving the referral to. And that breaks down on both sides when you give a referral that's not, mm-hmm, that's not valuable. So we're talking about in this episode, how does the person that you are referring borrow your know, like, and trust factor? But what happens if you've ruined that know, like, and trust factor through a bunch of referrals that just don't matter? Like, right, what is there left for them to borrow?
Stop wasting my time. Like,
yeah,
now all of a sudden, you know, you send two or three people over to me that were a waste of my time. That fourth time, if I even get to four,
yeah,
I really can't, you know, now I'm disregarding those people, which is unfortunate because maybe those future people would be a good fit. So
absolutely. And we've all heard the phrase guilty by association, yeah, right? I mean, I talk to my clients about it all the time, unfortunately. So when you refer to somebody and the person doesn't respond, you know, it is common human nature for someone to say, well, what type of people does Amber, mm-hmm, do business with?
Which again is setting expectations, because I actually got a referral 2 weeks ago. I can't remember if this person got back to me or not, but the person who made the introduction said to me beforehand, I have a friend who might, you know, be interested in the kind of stuff that you do. Would you be interested in an intro? Sure. You know, I'll always have you talk. She says, she's very slow to respond to things, just a heads up. So she told me up front. So now I know, like what you just said, I'm not offended that she didn't get back right away. Didn't work out. Not that I think it didn't work out. I know that, okay, I replied right away and maybe in a week or two, I'll bump it back up and follow up it without feeling guilty about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That setting expectations is so important. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing is when it comes to increasing your referrals is having people who know what it is that you do so that they can introduce you to the right people. And a great place to meet up with these kind of strategic partners is at PodMax, right? The community at PodMax is a great place to get people to know about you, to learn, to like and trust you, and to start understanding what it is that you do and who you help, because now they're going to be actively listening for those situations subconsciously. And when it pops up, they'll be able to make introductions and referrals for you. So if anybody's interested, podmax.co, the next event is on August 27th. And we have two great keynote speakers. Caleb Silver will be in the room, the editor-in-chief of Investopedia, and also Matt Faircloth from the DeRosa Group. And they're all going to be talking about personal branding, content creation, building a business with content, and all that stuff. And what's awesome about being someone who puts out content consistently is that it helps to educate your network, right? When you are creating content regularly, when you're posting it on social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, wherever you're building your network, right? Putting it out to your email list. This is what, you know, you always hear me talk about warming up your audience, right? Going from a cold audience to a warm audience. And putting out content and engaging with your audience is how you warm them up. It's how you educate them about not just what you do, right? Like most people know that I'm in some kind of marketing stuff. Most people have to ask me what I do because it is all over the map. But if you were to go to my website, thegrowthsuite.com/free, sign up for some free stuff, those free resources are going to educate you on our process. You're going to get automatic email follow-ups that educate you, you know, on our story, how we got started, the type of people we work with, the results we get, our philosophy on business, what I think that modern marketing principles are and how we operate and what I suggest for all of our clients to do when it comes to what kind of voice should you have or what kind of content should you create? Like, you know, if you come to me and hire me, but then it turns out you don't want to be someone who creates content, well, guess what? We're not going to be a good fit, right? And so this is a place where referrals can fall flat and put everybody in a bad situation. So the awesome thing about referrals, you get to jump the line when it comes to building the relationship and getting the trust. That's huge. That's awesome. But if someone, let's say, was like, I need Facebook ads, and they said that to a friend, and a friend was like, oh, Tresnik Media, they do Facebook ads. You should talk to Todd. They're like, great, I want to get started today. Let me do it. And they hit me up, we get on a call, and they're hyped up, ready to go because they want Facebook ads, whatever that means in their mind, right? Now, to me, there's an entire system around building your business where Facebook ads plays a role. And we help build out that system and we have a certain approach to it. And obviously, you know, we're here, you and I, as the faces of our companies. We put out content. We're direct to camera content creators. We believe in putting out educational stuff and value first and building relationships with audiences and all that kind of thing. But if you came to me and you thought you were going to say, sign on the dotted line, send in the check, I'll see you in 6 months, and that we were going to somehow create Facebook ads without your expertise on the subject, you're crazy, right? It's not going to be a good fit. And so if I were either, you know, desperate or too excited or too naive, where I would close the deal on that first call because they were ready to go, they trusted me, they wanted Facebook ads right away, they send me a check and we kick off and get started. Well, then when I say to them, all right, we have to schedule our Zoom call next week because I'm going to record me interviewing you, and that's going to be the content for all the ads, is your video, your face on video. And they were like, oh, I'm not good on camera. I don't want my face in the ads, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, guess what? We're not, like, we literally won't be able to work together because that's the method that we take. And so when someone refers over somebody and you skip that part of the educating people on your approach and philosophy and how you do things, you put everybody in a bad position, right? And so knowing that just because someone comes over ready to buy because they know, like, and trust you from the referral, still you as the provider need to pump the brakes a little bit and make sure they understand how you operate, not just that they're revving ready to go saying yes because they want to get started on results, but that they understand how you work and what it's going to be like.
Yeah, absolutely. And this actually did just recently happen to both of us. I was in my law firm and I was looking for a change in my marketing company, and I thought I needed SEO. Uh-huh. And I had put out this big Facebook post about, hey, who do you know that does SEO? And I'm going through talking to all these people about SEO and probably had 4 or 5 calls. I was getting quotes for SEO. I was getting all of this great information. And all of a sudden I was like, crap, I talk to Todd every single week. Like, why am I not talking to Todd, right? So I called Todd and said, hey, let's have a conversation about SEO. And he said, sweet, what do you think SEO is going to give you? Like, what do you need to accomplish now? What do you want to accomplish? And all of a sudden I realized I don't need SEO, right? Like, we were talking about how, like, that's not what you think it is, right? SEO to me meant something completely different than what it actually was. Mm-hmm. You took the time to sit down on a call, to educate me, to talk to me about things that I should be looking for. Nothing against any of the other people that I talk to, but this is the difference between an order taker and a service provider.
Yeah. And right? This is actually going to be one of our upcoming episodes too, is how to be a strategic partner versus an order taker.
Yeah, absolutely. So being willing to set those expectations. Number one, we've all been in that situation because none of us are perfect and we've all grown into the knowledge that we have now. We've all been in that situation where we sell somebody what they want without making sure it's what they actually think they want or need. Mm-hmm. And then we have this angry customer at the end that's like, you're saying I gave you exactly what you wanted. And they're saying, yes, but it's not what I thought I wanted. Right. And if that happens, I don't care who tells you anything. It's not your customer's fault.
Right.
It is absolutely on you. So the expectations are so important, especially in a referral, because you are borrowing credibility. And if you need another reason to just take that to the next level, you're not just working with your credibility. You're working with the credibility of the person who referred you. Yeah. Like, it's all on the line for all of you. So if you don't value your credibility or you're not able to think of it that way, think of, would you ever cut off this like tie? Because it very well could happen that your relationship is so bad with this referral that they won't do business with the person that referred to you. And then you've lost 2 contacts.
Yeah, totally. And everybody involved had great intentions getting started. Everyone was very excited. And then it turned out to be a bad fit. And then all of a sudden, that's when the faster you can recognize that and say, like, hey, Amber, you know what? I'm really sorry, but we made a mistake and I don't think we're going to be a good fit. And rather than try to drag this out and try and slam this square peg into the round hole, I think, you know, I don't want to leave you hanging in the wind. We'll figure out a transition period, but we're not going to be the right people here to help you get to where you're trying to go. Right. Like,
yeah.
It's just, and that's super important.
Yeah. And some of my best clients in my law firm have come from people that I rejected because I couldn't provide to them what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And to me, there is no better compliment than picking up the phone when somebody calls me and says, hey, so-and-so gave me your contact information. They said, if you couldn't help me, you'd know who could.
Yeah.
Like there's no better compliment than that to me, because that tells me that the integrity has preceded me, that the fact I'm not just going to take somebody's money for something that I can't do has preceded me, and the fact that they know that I know people who can help them. So just because you are not the right fit to help somebody doesn't mean that you don't get to build and nurture that relationship. Yeah. It's just not a monetary thing.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a great point, because I always talk about how I believe in value first, customer centric stuff, right? Like put your clients at the center of everything that you're doing, whether that's your messaging, your offers, your products. Think about this. If you're not a good fit, the more people you know that are similar to you, but take a different approach, or maybe like, you know, we're not like an e-commerce agency. We don't do Shopify sites and stuff like that. So like if someone comes to me, I still want to provide value. And so that I know people who do the e-commerce marketing, and now I can refer people out. So building up your Rolodex of people that you can, and now you're still adding value out to the marketplace. And like you said, that's where you're going to increase your referrals from that person, even though you didn't end up working with them. I have a funny story that I have to tell. Last week, anybody who's running a business and wants to do Facebook ads, we started running messenger campaigns with just an ask me anything, like, hey, if you know, I'm targeting people who are, you know, likely manage their own website. And it says, hey, if you're managing your own website, you're probably wondering how to get more people contacting you through your website. I've been doing this for 20 years. Tap the message button, ask me anything, like those types of things. And it's working really well for a bunch of clients in different spaces. So we're running that. I got a message from someone who they were an installation company. It looked like on their website, like they would install fans, air conditioning systems. It wasn't like HVAC, but whatever, like a home service provider, basically. And he messages me and we start chatting on Facebook Messenger. And I say, you know, what's your business like? How many customers do you have? What are your goals? How are you currently getting your customers? And he says, you know, currently we have, I forget what the number was, but currently we have, you know, 10 customers a month and we want to get to 25 customers a month. I said, okay, cool. How are you getting those customers? And he says, well, we're doing direct mail postcards to our target neighborhoods. I said, okay, cool. Have you maxed out the amount of customers you can get from the postcard method? He said, no, there's, you know, we only do it every 2 months. We should be doing it like every 3 weeks. And we only do it in half of the area we cover. We could do it in the whole area. I said, great, do that. Put them out more frequently and put them out to the full area that you serve. And he's like, okay, well, what do you think about Facebook ads? I go, you don't need to worry about Facebook ads until you max out what you're currently doing. Like if postcards are working for you, that's what you should keep doing, right? And so that's what we should strive for as service providers, is to be that strategic partner, strategic advisor who adds value regardless. And it's not like, I'm not trying to sell Facebook ads to everybody who talks to me. I'm trying to help you grow your business successfully. If it's going to be through postcards and it's working, like, yo, send more postcards.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, so I have to squirrel moment with you for just a minute, because this is so amazing. So I just finished reading Winning by Tim Grover.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Read that book. Oh my gosh, week. It's so good. So he talks in that book about like options and change and needing options. And he says, whenever somebody comes to me and they're getting results and they say that they want more options, all that means to me is that this is working. You're scared of where it's going and you're mm-hmm. looking for a way to screw it up. And when he said that, I was like, damn, like, why are you coming in with like the big punches, right? Like, why won't you just let me sabotage myself?
Coming right back around, right?
Like, why? And so when you tell that story, like mm-hmm. logic dictates that if something's working, you do more of that thing that's working.
Yeah.
And when you know, this is what we do as coaches all the time and service providers. What are you doing now? What's working? Okay, do more of it. Rocket science, right? But we get in our own way so many times. And so that self-sabotage is real, which is why you need somebody like Todd on the marketing side, why you need a coach in your life to be like, dude, just do more of the shit that works.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, go. It's working. Don't change anything. Keep doing it.
And yeah.
You know, like I said, it's sophistication bias and novelty bias. We want to do something different. We want things to change. We want it to be harder. It's like, dude, just it's working. Keep doing more of it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. So for people who are saying, you know, I just don't know how to get started. I never realized that having a network was this powerful. I never realized that knowing this many people was so important. Mm-hmm. We talked about PodMax. What's some other ideas that we have for where people can just start building up their Rolodex?
Yeah. You know, I mean, on the PodMax show today, if you guys aren't listening to that, make sure you check it out at podmax.co, facebook.com/podmax. Live. I don't know, Rob, can you get that link up for us? Sorry. But we were talking about, you know, business cards, handing out business cards and things like that. You have a super cool quote unquote business card, right?
It is not laminated for anybody who wants to know.
But you know, when you meet people, it's got a QR code and it puts your info, it puts your contact info in their phone. I think another thing that I saw, and tell me if yours does this too, but there are QR codes you can get, facebook.com/podmaxlive. I was right. How about that? Beautiful. Business cards where it connects you on social, right? Like if you scan this, it'll pop open my Facebook profile or my LinkedIn profile. And something, you know, our target audience is primarily like SMB service providers. And a lot of those business owners tend to be a little on the older side. And we're working with some people who are in like their late 40s, early 50s right now. And everybody, even old school people, sorry if that's you and I'm calling you old school, but it's old school where it's like, you know, my network is my net worth. My Rolodex is everything. And it's the people they know. And they're like, they don't think about social media that way. And it's like, well, if you were going to networking events all the time, connecting with these new people, whether you're doing virtual networking events or you're going in person, connect with everybody you meet on your social platform of choice. If it's Facebook or if it's LinkedIn, whatever it is, connect with people, because I know, so like what's great about us, and we talk about it all the time. When you build an audience, when you build a network, I go on Facebook and I say, hey, I had a few people ask me this week how they can increase their referrals. So I'm thinking about doing like a 60-minute masterclass on increasing referrals to digital content. If you'd be interested in that kind of workshop, it's going to be like $27. Leave a comment or shoot me a message and maybe I will put it together. I have a large enough network of people that when I do that, I can get a good response to know, is this idea validated or not? I can reach people. But for my friends and colleagues who are in their late 40s, early 50s, who haven't taken to social media like that, where they've built up a lot of connections, like they just straight up have their like tight-knit group of friends and family, but they say that their network is everything. Well, now you go out and you start a business. You got laid off during COVID. And you decide you're going to put out your shingle and start your own company. And you do that. Well, if you had everybody that you worked with connected on LinkedIn or Facebook, you could go out, post on LinkedIn and Facebook and say, hey, huge announcement. I'm starting my own business. Here's the people we're looking to connect with. Here's the problems we're solving. If you know anybody like this, I'd love to meet them. Boom. Social media is connecting you to all those people. So if you're not taking the offline relationships and adding them to your online world where you have that everyday post content or every week post content, they're seeing you more regularly. And then you may have this relationship that's built up, you're top of mind. You can reach them directly. You can make these kind of announcements. Then they can even connect you through those platforms. Like, let's make that happen. I think, you know, a tip for people is people you're meeting offline, make those connections happen online, because then that's how you're going to be able to stay in front of them and more directly connect with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is just screaming to me. I remember when I started my coaching business, I started my podcast, I started really networking and marketing, and I was reaching out to people going, oh my gosh, I need to meet so many new people a day. Mm-hmm. And then I was talking to my coach and it just hit me. Like, I don't need to meet more people. I need to know the people that I already know, mm-hmm. right? So there's people that are sitting there going, I don't even know where to start. Well, I bet if you go to your Facebook, I mean, I have almost 3,500 Facebook friends, yeah. And I bet I could tell you about a thousand of them.
Right.
Like we were in this moment, especially on social media for so long, where numbers trumped mm-hmm. relationships. Mm-hmm. And we were just accepting friend requests from everybody that we had a mutual friend with. If I don't talk to you, like, what's the point of being connected? Especially in a place where Facebook has a cap of 5,000 friends, like that number might seem out of reach for you. But if you're creating content, it creeps up on you like this.
Totally.
So, and then, you know, you can go back and listen to the episodes that Todd and I had previously about taking those people off of the social media platform into your email list, getting around that algorithm and actually having 5,000 engaged people. Like imagine what that does for your content creation. So, and imagine what that does to be able to build value for people. You're sitting there saying the Gary Vaynerchuk's of the world, how could I connect with Gary? How can I add value to Gary? Well, who do you know that Gary needs to know? That's the answer.
Yeah. The people at Podmax know Gary. So podmax.co if you want to be connected there. But you know, it's funny. There's this like cycle of relationship building where you take people offline, get connected to them online, because online, the digital assets, the digital connections is how you can maintain lots of relationships at scale, right? Like you can't call every one of your, every person in your network every week to check in on them because it's just
Do they want you to.
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean. Like it's not appropriate to do that, but you can post on LinkedIn a couple times a week. You can post on Facebook a couple times a week and they'll see you and that's enough. Right. And so if you don't make that connection, then you, then you're going to go months, years before you have talked to someone, and someone who could have been a valuable connection is now now needs to be reignited. And it's like, oh, well, I can't call them up and ask them for something because I haven't talked to them in 2 years when you could have been talking to them through this digital. But then it's like you meet offline, you connect online, you nurture these relationships at scale. And then you, like you said, then you push it back to the one-on-one and then back to the offline. And that's how you close business. And do you follow George Bryant?
So yes, I do. And I laugh because he was the person that actually got me started with interacting with every single one of my face, because I sent him a friend request and he sent me a Facebook message. And it was like, hey, I saw your friend request. Just wanted to make sure that it wasn't like this awkward connection, that you really meant to do this. And went in and said, hey, like, how did you? And I was so upset that I hadn't thought of this first. He was like, what made you decide to send me a friend request? Boom. You know what's important to them. You know what marketing they saw. It's so simple. So I answered the question and then I told him I was stealing his stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. And so what he does, something else to steal, talking about going offline to online, he has a great podcast. It's called The Mind of George. And he actually says that when he's at a stoplight, when he's online at the deli, when he's out anywhere and he just happens to be talking to people, he says, hey, do you listen to podcasts? I have an awesome podcast. I'd love for you to subscribe. And he gets podcast subscribers like online at the store. Right. And so like he's doing that stuff. Right. And then people start subscribing and then they become connected socially and all that stuff. And so like, you know, and I don't know if I've told this story on Air Brands, but Nir Eyal, who's the author of Hooked and Indistractable, New York Times bestselling author, super successful, awesome guy, super nice. I had him on an expert interview series that I was doing a couple years ago, and he spoke at one of our events. And we were in an active email thread conversation about the event we were having like in a couple weeks. And it happened to be when his, well, not coincidentally, was when his book was coming out. That's why we were able to get him for our event, because he was promoting his book. And his book launches, and I get a Facebook message from him, or quote unquote from him, right? And it's like, hey, Todd, thought you might be interested in my new book launch because you liked my post about it like last week or whatever. It's launching tonight. And I forget what it was. And I responded, was like, hey, Nir, like, I'm sure this is either automated or a VA, but I appreciate it. Like, I already pre-ordered it or whatever. And then he responded like 20 minutes later and was like, yo, Todd, hey, sorry, I am copy and pasting these out, but it is me messaging. And I'm like, dude, how do you get on the New York Times bestselling list? Like, this guy, he's literally one-on-one DMing everybody on Facebook who has liked one of his posts in the last however long. Like, that's legit. Like, that's the hustle and grind part of things. And he's going out and speaking out huge events, and he's on all the podcasts. He does all the other stuff. But like, dude, that's the hustle and passion that like, and relationship building, like doing stuff that doesn't scale, you know?
You know, people want to know, how do the really successful people in their field get really successful? And the answer, like, they don't really want the answer, because the answer is like they hustle and grind their ass off. And I was reading Les Brown's book to prepare for the interview, because I had him on the podcast, which was so amazing.
Oh, you want to pick that name off the floor then?
So I was reading his book, and he was saying that when he started speaking, he was making 200 phone calls a day to people for speaking engagements. 200. And we're talking, like, not to age Les Brown, but you couldn't just go on Facebook and, and bought 200 people. Like, he was in a phone book calling 200 people a day.
Crazy.
This is how sales, you know, it it's the grind. So if you think, man, this sounds like a lot of work, it is, and it's worth it.
But one of the ways to speed that up is through referrals. So getting good referrals comes from having more people know you and know what to listen for, right? The active listening. And once you have those kind of connections, then, and they're making referrals, that's going to help you speed up the process. But to make sure that it's a good fit, pump the brakes and make sure you have conversations, not just that they need the service you provide, but that they understand how you work, what's involved, that, you know, you get to know each other a little bit, personality wise. And also timing was another thing we didn't talk about, right? Like, one of my best friends is a realtor. I'd love to refer everybody over to him, but, like, people buy houses like every 25 years. So I'm not going to go out blasting introductions to this person, right? Or another thing common, you know, in your 20s, you start getting hit up by all these insurance salespeople and they'll meet with you. And then at the end, it's like, hey, can you give me the name and number of three of your friends? Because they probably need this too. And, you know, sometimes it gets you young enough where you're naive, but it's like, yo, my friend's not looking for this. And so it's going to waste your time reaching out to them and meeting with them. It's going to waste their time. And, like, they're going to be pissed at me. So, like, know the timing of the situation. Like, does it make sense to make referrals to people when they ask you for them? And once you get a referral inbound, like, take the time to know them and educate them on what it is that you do and learn how they approach things so that it's a good fit. And if it's not, think about who else you might be able to connect them with that would help them with their problem. Always be looking to add value, whether it's through your company or somebody else's.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on that note, like, if you have any questions about, you know, is this, am I doing this right? Is this the right way to do it? Is this a good connection? Just ask yourself, like, if I was on the other side of this and someone gave my number to this guy, would I want to hunt them down and run them over with my car? And if the answer to that is yes, then don't make the introduction.
Yes. But an introduction, an introduction I'm happy to make is, for all of our viewers and listeners to PodMax, if you guys are not part of the PodMax community yet, podmax.co, our next great event is going to be August 27th. I'd love to connect with you there, learn about what you do so we could start sending you referrals who are qualified and need what it is that you do. Podmax.co to jump into that event and join our community there. So until next week, have a great week and send good referrals this week.
Yes.
Tune in to the On Air Brands podcast.